I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Series 6, Episode 8 of the Doggy Pod. You know, we've got over 150, well over 150 well over. Episodes for you to listen to, but this one, welcome to it. I'm Dr. Rob Zammit.
And I'm producer Stephen Peters. Yes, gee, there's a lot of wisdom out there in those episodes, isn't there?
Oh, miles of wisdom, isn't it? Wisdom. We have a lot of fun.
You could listen miles to the fun. Doggy Pod back to back for probably a week solid.
You mean that people aren't doing that?
Oh well, I'm gosh. I'm sure there's some fanatics out there that are. But anyway, that's a ton load of episodes.
Information.
Yeah, anyway, we're talking today, a few things, of course, but one of them is head tilting. When your dog does its little sort of tilt to the left or tilt to the right, that it's thinking about something. But
or else.
Oh, yeah. Is it a sign of something else if it's doing a little too much head tilting?
It's wondering why you're smoking. Nicotine poisoning in dogs is becoming a bit of an issue, my friend.
Right. Is that because of vaping?
I think it's probably increased the problem. Vaping, I mean, you shouldn't smoke. As a very, those older members of our community would remember a bald man that used to say, "Don't smoke."
Oh, Yul Brynner, the actor.
Yeah, and he died of smoking. Well, yes. He died of cancer because of smoking. So vaping and nicotine, you shouldn't do it yourself. But if you're going to kill yourself with smoking, don't kill your dogs. Keep it away from your dog.
So yeah, so nicotine poisoning, is that a thing? Now, our breed of the week this week is a, I think it's a trio. It's the Setters.
The Setters. How good is that? I love that.
S-E-T-T-E-R-S, the Setters. Now, there is the English.
Yes, the Irish.
The Irish.
And the big boy, the Gordon Setter.
The Gordon Setter. We have a trio of Setters, and they all have sort of unique traits, which I'm sure are fascinating, and Dr. Rob will tell us about it in a moment. Anyway, what's been happening at the clinic?
Oh, look, I had a case where someone finally came in with their dog. They didn't want to come in because...
Why would you not want to come in and see Dr. Rob?
They didn't want to know the bad news about their dog.
Oh,
okay. Cancer. They said,
Why did they think that their dog had cancer?
They admitted that the dog had cancer. That's what they believed. Mm. And it was very obvious that it had cancer, according to them. Because what else would it be? The dog is urinating blood. First of all, it was brown, and occasionally it's blood. The urine is really dark or blood. And it's got to be cancer. And so they didn't want to come in.
That was their view.
They didn't realise that. They just didn't want to part with this dog. They love this dog so much. And I said...
What, were they worried that you'd say you'd have to put it down?
Yep, exactly. And I said, it could be severe infection. Said, oh, no, not with blood, not that much blood. It was really frank blood in there, like really bright red blood. Mm. I said, probably not, but there are other things. What else could it be? They're saying, let's go and have a look. So examine the dog. Everything else was fine. certainly a bit of pain in that lower part of the tummy when I'm palpating, feeling it, you could see the dog resisting. So we went in, took an ultrasound, and I thought, okay, we'll brighten this up, we'll light it up with some x-rays. And we took an x-ray of the dog and showed them. And they could, they came in, I said, look, this is the problem. I said, oh, so it's cancer? I said, no, it's bladder stones.
Oh.
They did. This poor dog had been suffering with bladder stones, and the people, I felt sorry for them because they love the dog, but were frightened because I'd say, it's got cancer, we have to put it to sleep. I'm saying, no, it's got bladder stones.
Oh, so the poor dog.
Yeah.
Oh.
And we took these rocks out of its bladder. We knocked it out and under anaesthetic, emptied the bladder of as much fluid as we could, opened up the bladder, and I'm telling you, it was just full of...
like calcium.
Yeah, calcified with this special type of... There's different types of bladder stones, and we've sent them off for analysis because we know we need to know what type it is because different things may help dissolve it and prevent it in the future. So now they've got to watch diet. But what we had to do is virtually get all the stones. There were lots of little ones, and that's hard. You know, we're using a light curetting of the internal lining of the bladder. You don't want to be piercing through the bladder with a curette, just to make sure we've got everything out. We keep flushing it with saline and emptying it out and flushing it. Even that produced some stones. Then you've got to make sure there's no stones in the tube going from the bladder out through the penis, the urethra. So we put a catheter up through. The nurse was doing that because we remained sterile, so she was holding the catheter, pushing up through the urethra up to the bladder and make sure there were no rocks in there.
God, I hope that dog was knocked out during this.
Good idea. Hadn't thought of that.
There's a thought.
And so, once we've cleared all the stones, we then have to carefully sew the bladder up. It's not just a matter of putting a few stitches in and hope it holds. You've got to really do a waterproof layering
of
that tissue. It's a unique tissue because it's the only tissue that expands right up and then goes right down the body like a big organ. I guess your lungs do to some extent, but not as much as the bladder. Haven't we thought of that when you're sitting on public transport thinking, well, shouldn't I've gone beforehand? We did our double suturing on that, then sewed up the muscles and the subcutaneous tissue and the skin. And fortunately, the next day, this dog was urinating quite okay. Of course, there's some blood in there because we've been in there with a curette and caused all sorts of problems. So as these owners, and this is what you have to do as a vet, you have to analyse the owners a little bit. They are a little bit on the panic side, so I'm going to keep this dog in until I get clear urine out of it. Two or three
otherwise
days.
Otherwise they'll fret.
Very much so. We'll keep them on antibiotics, which are filtered out of the kidneys and through the bladder, and keep them on anti-inflammatories to stop the inflammation that we've caused by... Well, the inflammation was there, of course, because of those damn rocks in the bladder, but also we've caused more of it by getting in there with a light curetting of getting all the stones out, so we'll get rid of that.
How long would it have taken for these rocks to get to that level?
It's usually months. It doesn't happen
so
just over weeks.
Dog
it's
in
months
pain
and months.
For a while.
Well, sometimes they're there and there's no pain, then all of a sudden, when they're starting to roll around and scrape inside your bladder and cause a bit of blockage of urine from time to time, that's when things are grim. We see it in many different animals. It happens in humans and people too. It's not, these are not kidney stones.
No.
These are bladder stones.
Same kind of thing.
Yeah. Lower down. So fortunately, which is good because kidney stones are much harder to get rid of. But we managed to get these out, and he's still in hospital and probably will go home, I would think, within another 24, 48 hours.
But he's cancer-free.
He sure is.
And I'm sure most of us love it when our dogs do that little head tilt. Looks adorable often, doesn't it? It's like they're kind of thinking about this and thinking about that and, pondering stuff. But there is a thing where dogs can do too much of that and it actually means something else.
Yeah, when it starts off as just a bit of a curious head tilt because of a noise or something, it is just adorable. But when does it happen? Well, I've seen it in young puppies at 3 or 4 weeks of age, and they continue that way for quite some time.
what, sort of regularly?
No, left, they're right? they're just always tilting one way, done. And it has occurred in certain lines of certain breeds. So there must be a hereditary basis to it. As they grow up, and I think it must be an immaturity of maybe the vestibular nerve or the vestibular apparatus or something, because there's no infection there that causes this. It's just very regular in some lines of dogs that I've seen, different breeds. And they grow out of it. You know, the majority do grow out of that particular weird head tilt that we see growing up.
Yeah,
I don't want to be doing postmortems on these puppies just to satisfy my curiosity of what's causing it, because I do know they do in fact grow out of it. The other ones that become a problem are when they're much older. You know, that head tilt to one side, or in the adult dogs, all of a sudden it starts, that head tilt. Could be infection in the ear. Could be a grass seed, a foreign body. Grass seeds are the most common foreign bodies inside the ear. And the vet has to knock them out and have a look with scopes right down into the towards the eardrum. Because, why do you have to knock them out? The angle of the external canal, is it's bent at the right angle. And if there's a head tilt, it's usually indicating some sort of pain. So they're better off anaesthetised and have a look. Sometimes you have to x-ray, and you x-ray what's called the bulla, which is part of the bone structure of the skull. And if you see differences in density of the two, then there's an infection there. It's telling you you've got real bad infection in the middle ear, usually, and you have to attack that. Sometimes we even attack that surgically. We actually put a hole in the bulla to drain it and get rid of the infection that way, plus antibiotics, of course, ongoing. If it's very bad, there can be other signs like vomiting and dizziness and, you know, circling, not even being able to balance properly. That may be either really severe infection of the middle ear, or it could be a tumour in that area.
So is the first thing people would notice would be that their dog's just tilting its head a lot?
Yeah, just hit, tilting the head. And the first thing you think of, is, even as a vet, is probably, oh, infection. That's usually what we think about. And if it's not infection, then we've got to start looking at some of the other possibilities. And there's a host of them. Now, sometimes it takes an MRI to get to a diagnosis. You know, it can be very, very bad. The treatment varies according to what it is. You know, but most commonly, infection is the cause. So it's most commonly used antibiotics and anti-inflammatories to stop the inflammation that's in there as well, to help that. 9 times out of 10, that's as far as it goes. Occasionally we will operate. And then sometimes we get an MRI when it's very, very bad. And don't forget, it can be even something worse, like a brain tumour can even cause a head tilt. And dogs do get brain tumours.
So people should just watch out
for that. If you see the head tilt, if it's just a cute one, lap it up, take a photo of it and send it to us. If it's ongoing, then off to the vet. Different and get story. Them looked at.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Now, we all know that nicotine can be quite bad for humans, but we won't let Rob start his anti-smoking lecture just yet.
No, we're not going to say don't smoke.
He's not going to do. He's already done that. But the thing is, is it a thing in dogs? Can dogs get suffer from passive smoking and nicotine poisoning, particularly with the popularity of vaping these days? There's a lot more people thinking, oh, maybe it's not a big deal that I'm vaping near my dog. and using nicotine in the vape. Is it an issue?
Well, look at those vaping machines. What do they look like to you if you're a dog? Oh, that's an interesting toy to chew on.
Well, there's that as well.
That's what happens. They chewing on those vaping machines. Or we've had in the past, even dogs have chewed up packets of cigarettes for something to do.
Yeah, because they're left on the coffee table.
Somewhere there, and goes out, I'll chew those up. And it doesn't take a lot of nicotine. A lethal dose of nicotine in a dog is about 4 milligrams in 4 milligrams in about half a kilo, 1 pound. 4 milligrams in half a kilo per half kilo will kill a dog.
Per half a kilo, like the weight of the dog?
Weight of the dog, yeah. Right. So it doesn't take that. 4 milligrams, not a lot of nicotine. And if you...
So how would a dog get 4 milligrams of nicotine?
Chewing up a especially one of those vaping things.
Yeah.
That's how we've seen it. The other, or a packet of cigarettes. Yeah, but toxicity starts at 0.5 milligrams for half a kilo. That's when toxicity starts. Some of the signs start at... Even a much, much, much lower dose. You know, half a milligram can cause a lot of sickness in dogs.
So they can get passive smoking as well? They can get...
Yeah, well, if they're
which is lung disease, it's a different thing.
Yeah, they'll usually get lung disease from passive smoking.
Right.
You know, they'll get lung cancer, just like any other animal will, with passive smoking. Just like your children do with passive smoking.
But nicotine poisoning is a different thing.
And... Yeah, the signs are often vomiting and a lot of disorientation, even seizures can happen through nicotine poisoning. I've seen that. In fact, the other thing, when pipes were popular, we used to see a bit of nicotine poisoning for the same reason. Mm. Dogs like chewing things like that, and if there's a lot of nicotine in there, they start vomiting and diarrhea and dizziness, and you could see it. You know, they just start... They can't coordinate, and they can go into a neurological seizure, which can end up killing them if things are bad.
So if you do vape, it's a habit to get into, isn't it? Not to just leave them lying around or the disposable ones lying around.
Absolutely. Be very careful, or keep your cigarettes around. If you do vape, the way you can stop it affecting your dog is... I guess next time you're driving past a garbage tin, throw it in there and it won't affect your dog.
When you're finished with it, yes. I think Rob's going off again. I have to watch him. Just be extra, extra, extra careful, because that's not a lot of nicotine, you wouldn't think, to have
for a small dog. And puppies, puppies see vaping machines as an ideal toy to chew on.
Yeah,
Thank you very much.
Plastic, colourful, smells nice.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Be careful, everybody. Well, this week it's our breed of the week, but it's like a trio breed, is it three different breeds? You know, they're setters, the ones that point with their tail. But is that three different breeds?
We do a whole TV series called The Three Setters? They did one of the Three Stooges years ago. Three Setters.
How old are you?
Big cowboy, I guess. Three Setters.
So is that one breed or three different breeds?
Three totally different breeds.
But in the setter family.
The lighter one, probably a bit taller, is the Irish Setter. Well known for its beautiful red coat, real mahogany.
But what does setter
coat.
Mean? Why are they called setters?
Because they set. In other words, if they made for hunting, all three of these breeds in different conditions. The heavy dog goes through much harder conditions and heavier conditions. The lighter Irish setters, lighter bush, if you like. But if they see game, boom, they still straight away point with their nose. They set straight away, pointing at the game. They don't move. The tail goes straight up, and that's what a set is, and that's the setter does just that. They go out there and bang, there it is, there's the game. And because man used to have to hunt to live,
and they relied on these dogs to tell them where the game was.
When we look at the evolution of humans started really taking over the planet. I guess maybe that's a bad thing, but it happened once we were able to use dogs to herd animals. That's when we really increased in numbers. herding animals themselves, putting a few in a big paddock wasn't enough. We had to be able to control them. And it was dogs that did that for us.
God bless them.
And yeah, it was. And even today, with it's getting harder and harder to get people to work in the country. It's dogs that come to the fore and do all their work in with sheep and with cattle to herd them up. So they're still there. But setting is a very important part of the one of these three
that
breeds.
That all makes sense, yeah.
The lighter one, as I say, is the Irish setter. Very beautiful with it. They have a lot of feathering to protect them. It's called feathering, which is extra hair at the back of the legs and under the tummy and at the back of the back legs as well. And the front and back legs all have it, and even the tail. So you have these three different types for slightly different conditions. The English setter, so you've got the Irish setter, the English setter, a bit heavier than the Irish setter, and same sort of type of game that he would go after, but in a slightly heavier bush. And then the Gordon setter, thought of as more Scottish, in the, through the thick brambles and things like that of the Scottish heaths and things. Very, very big dog with big bone. Not taller than the others, but just you can see he's just a bit heavier. And still with all that beautiful feathering. The Gordon setter tends to be black and tan. The English setter is more like a speckled dog. Mm-hmm. And the Irish setter, of course, is red.
So will they be happy just hanging around somebody's backyard and not chasing game? Or will they always be yearning for the hunt?
They see birds flying over and they'll set and have a bit of fun that way. As long as you're prepared to take them out, and they're a great dog for exercise. They do need their exercise.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And you can actually go out, not so much hunting, but certainly there are lots of these trials that they do for these dogs, just having fun anywhere in the world, in the Western world. There are these places we can take these dogs and they'll help you train the dog. And it's part of their instinct.
To do
they have
what
a lot
it's
of fun.
Naturally
yeah,
wants to
pointing
do.
Pointing and racing into the water and gathering, not animals have been shot, but they'll certainly bring back different things that people make to look like a duck or whatever, and they throw it in the water and the dog chases after it. It's part of their life. They love it. So they just enjoy it.
Even though they can smell that it's not a real duck or whatever.
No, if they're trained for it, they just love doing it. They know what it is and off they go. So it's just something they enjoy doing. And you've got to be careful with all three setters. There's one terrible disease that gets them, and that's bloat. We've talked about bloat before, and if you don't know what bloat is, just go through every single episode of the Doggy Pod.
listen to all of it. It's in there somewhere.
Bloat's in there.
You might hear some debarking in the background. That's because we're recording this week's episode in the clinic where Dr. Rob works. There's a dog. I think the dog needs your attention out there. Right?
Off we go. He said yes. He'd like me to come out.
Okay, before we wrap up this episode, because I know Dr. Rob is... lots of people keep coming into our little studio here saying, Doctor, you need it outside, so he needs to get back to work. But also, we are going to be taking a short break because we're doing lots of other things, and one of them is we're working on a movie with Oggie August, the Doggy Pod puppy, very much turning into a Doggy Pod teenager now. And so we need to take some time off to do some work on that. But one of the questions I'll ask, and I'll put this on our Instagram account, and you can reply there if you've got a moment. We want to come up with a name, and we've narrowed it down to two. Now, Oggie can... this is for in the movie. Now, Oggie can either be called Alfie or Archie. Now, there's a reason which I won't go into now, but it's one or the other, and we can't quite decide. Alfie or Archie. So when you see this post on Instagram, please feel free to put your 2 cents worth in, or you could just go straight to our Instagram account and say what you think. Alfie or Archie for our little Oggie?
We'll have to ask his agent, I guess.
Yeah, about that. Mr. 20%. Yeah, anyway, so as always, Rob will have some words of wisdom to leave us with.
Having a puppy again has just reminded me of all the reasons I've love dogs. They just, they test you. You know, he's got sharp teeth, he does everything, but you need to spend time with them. It's simple as that. If you've bought a dog and you're not spending time with it, find a good home. Find a good home for it.
Mm.
Or better still, leave home yourself and leave the dog there. Just let someone else look after it. And seriously, I mean, dogs deserve our time. So you really want to enjoy it. There's lots of disciplines. Doesn't matter how old your dog is. Lots of disciplines that you can enter into in what they call the dog world around you. There's a lot of people that can direct you to a lot of disciplines that will give your dog a lot of enjoyment, give you a lot of relaxation that you need. You're stressed, I can hear it out there, and give you some time with your dog to lower your blood pressure. All the best, folks.
See you next time.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.